Hello and welcome to Single to Soulmate. I'm Tanya Alberti, spiritual teacher, channel and medium for spirit, and soul-aligned relationships coach and mentor to men, women, and couples who are looking to have rockin' relationships both in and out of the bedroom. I do this by helping you heal the pain of your past, connect to your intuitive awareness, and align with your own soul, thus stepping into the best and highest version of yourself in order to attract that one-of-a-kind soulmate love that you're longing for. Hey everybody, welcome. So glad you're here. Today's conversation is going to be about something that I feel is a pretty big topic. I think it's really important to have a conversation about. It's about social media's influence on dating. So the title of this episode is Looking Like Ken and Barbie, How Social Media Impacts Your Dating Life. And I feel like this is a pretty relevant topic when it comes to how prevalent social media is and how so many images we see on social media are not reality. So grab a cup of coffee, grab some tea, sit back and relax, and give this episode a listen. Today we're going to be talking about social media's influence on dating. And I think, well, I'm married. I've been married for a while now, but I look at what's going on in the world today of social media, because I'm on social media a lot for my business and what have you, just for my personal stuff. But I think that being in the dating world today is super, super challenging, because I look at what I see, and I see a lot of editing. I see a lot of filtering. I see a lot of, Photoshop. So I look at this and I think, oh my gosh, these poor people, especially like younger people, how challenging it must be, because not only are you overcoming your own woundedness, your own inner child issues, your own self-esteem issues, but then you've got to look at social media and look at these, you know, happy couple pictures, the perfect, you know, she looks like Barbie, he looks like Ken, you know, whatever, yeah. All these perfect people. And I think it really plays an impact on people's self-esteem, not only self-esteem, but your expectations of what is like the kind of person you want to be with. And I think it's really interesting. And there was back in 2016, there was this group of people who compared online dating with shopping. And that it's like the possibility to look at the first major amount of potential partners, which would be associated with like clothing, if you're going to the shopping store, right? The mall or whatever. And you just contact the ones who seem the most interesting. You know, you buy that piece of clothing that you really are attracted to. And this is kind of how internet dating started off with people. You know, people who are lonely or shy or getting attention from people around them. And through the internet, they felt as it was like less risky. So they'd be able to present themselves on social media in a different way. You know, that's where the whole catfish show comes from, right?
Yeah.
It's like presenting yourself as more confident, more attractive, you know, all these things. And it goes kind of hand in hand with, you know, these digital images and people presenting themselves differently when using social media. So there was back in 2016, there was a person, I can't remember their first name. I think it was, his last name was Ward, but they were talking about similar concepts called impression management, which kind of deals with the fact that people tend to present themselves in a way which they think is catchy or more attractive towards the opposite sex. And that helps them in the dating world feeling more confident. And the goal is to have as much control as possible of the impression other people have of you. So therefore, as a consequence, manipulation is used in an extreme manner. So it's like you're taking a risk of being manipulated,
essentially, is what it boils down to. And I feel it's really interesting. And people trying to make connection in today's world have huge, huge hurdles to overcome when it comes to social media and dating and the online dating sites and things like that, because the way people present themselves is often not true.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I mean, I've been on one app, dating app. I don't really see guys are doing it, but I can understand what being said. And then the red flags about the social media, the dating app, like, they don't really put their authentic status. Like, I've been seeing, because I know how to screen these people, I've been seeing a lot of married men, you know, claiming they're single, you know, be there, which never happened when we are dated, like, in person or introduced or even blind date through friends. So, like, we can kind of investigate who they are, and we don't really meet, like, someone who is married, you know, that kind of thing. And then I did hear a lot of stuff from very young girls, like teens or early 20s, like, they have a lot of social pressure to be pretty, to just get a date. And then you get, like, super self-conscious about, like, competing other ones. Like, dating is all about be authentic and see, like, find your match instead of, like, competing some other girl, because everybody do have a different taste. But because of, like, Instagram and stuff like that, you see so many beautiful regular girls. Like, before, you know, our time, like, we only see, like, celebrities and regular people. So even, you know, when celebrities, they look good, we just had idea, okay, they're celebrities. So it's, you know, there's a difference between celebrity and regular people. So regular people never thought about, okay, I have to compete with a girl next door. You know what I mean? Because there's no social media, and then, like, yeah, you know, popular girl, but it's not like you have, it wasn't on your face. Like, it was not too much pressure on you. It's up to you how much you want to be pretty. And then with the filtering and everything, like, it's just that they only present, like, their perfect version of themselves or whatever that is, like Photoshop. And even those celebrities and all these people, they look like that after Photoshop.
Yeah, and I mean, when it comes to real connection and real relationships, I think it's kind of a hindrance when you're on sites like, say, Tinder, right? And, you know, there's even a term, Tinderella, you know, where they're mixing Cinderella and Tinder, where these girls are constantly using the app. And it's like, you know, when you're in a world where the society is like, you're making decisions on people with just a swipe, you know, swipe right, swipe left, right? And that's, the fear of rejection is really low. You know, when you are on a site like that and you have all these options, you're like, well, I'm gonna just keep swiping, swipe, swipe, swipe. And it's more about a desire for attention and confirmation and validation. And when you're in that kind of world, you're not really paying attention much to things that are substantial. Like, do we connect? Do we really have that kind of feeling where you just really get each other, right? Where you have a lot in common, where you understand each other. And I feel like, I mean, I don't think social media is a bad thing, but when it comes to dating, I think it's just one of those things, like anything else, be cautious, right? Because is Tinder a really good invention? I mean, is it? Does it help you find the right partner? Does it make relationships, dating, and love life even more complicated? I think on one hand, it can be a confidence booster if somebody's constantly selecting you, you know, but then again, is it really you? You know, are you bold and brave enough to put yourself on there? No filter, as is, this is me, this is what you get. Because I feel a lot of 20-somethings, maybe even 30-somethings, are putting like their absolute most filtered selfie on there because they want to look like the beautiful, perfect person, you know? And on one hand, you know, social media and dating sites can help shy people get out there. You know, people who are like maybe too nervous to be at a bar or maybe too nervous to go to like a meetup or a singles group or something like that. So they put themselves on social media because they're like, oh, well, I don't have to make that first step, right? But on the other hand, there's a lot of negative things connected, I think, to like sites like Tinder and stuff like that, because, you know, it's like swipe, swipe, swipe. And if you have a match, you can message each other. Well, that's all fine and good. But at the same way, I feel like this takes something away. And maybe I'm old school. I don't know. Probably. But I think it takes something away from the excitement of, you know, like meeting somebody and that initial interaction and, you know, the flirtation that goes on and that initial connection and spark and that energy that's created between a couple when you first sort of start meeting and dating. And I think it's really interesting that there's a there's an article by a woman named Nancy Jo Sales. It's called Tinder and the Dawn of the Dating Apocalypse. And it talks about anxiety. And it talks about anxiety from growing up with social media and forgetting about how real relationships and face-to-face communication works and why Generation Y acts so differently when it comes to romance, sex, and dating as opposed to other generations. So I think as young adults in the 21st century, it's something to be aware of. And I think when you grow up with something like that, you know, because I did not, you know, the internet wasn't even around until I was in my early 20s. And things are so different nowadays, you know, and I think being digitally self-aware, it is something that plays a major impact on dating culture with young adults. When you start looking at, you know, being in a swipe culture, you know, swiping right, swiping left, as opposed to having that real connection. So that's why I thought I wanted to talk about this today, because I think it's so interesting. And I think it's a very valid thing going on in today's age when it comes to dating and relationships.
Yeah, it's definitely important because, like, especially, like, this is my role. Like, when guy, he doesn't ask me out after, like, few correspondences, I'm not going to keep on, like, being a text messaging buddy because that's one waste of my time. And two, if they really want to go out for a date, like, they're going to ask you out anyways, you know. And then you don't waste this connection by text messaging, because by the time you meet, you had tons of text messaging for months. And then you lose all this initial way of a natural way to meet the other person, you know, like organically. So when you only corresponded a few times and then you meet person to just feel the person, I'm not saying go to bed, I'm talking about feel the vibration, and then see if they look same as a picture or whoever they claim to be, you know, that kind of thing. Because you can't really tell who they are until you meet in person or if that person is compatible with you. Especially a lot of fakeness is going on, like on internet, like dating, especially dating site, like fast you meet, you waste less time and you don't really invest emotionally anyways, you know, like if you've been communicating with each other for months, then you build up your feelings on who knows who this person is. But usually, like, if you meet in person, you can feel it right away. So you save a lot of time.
Yeah, and the other thing I think that is a problem, and like I said, I don't want to disparage social media, because I think, you know, as far as online dating goes, I think there's a lot of benefits, you know, for people. However, that being said, I think social media can create a lot of unrealistic expectations. And that's the problem. I mean, I think this is the biggest problem because, like I said, there are a lot of useful things about social media. But the problem is that when you get exposed to so many photos and pictures and images of what you see are mostly curated, they're filtered, they're highlighted, they're unrealistic, right? And that's the problem. When you get so used to seeing images about what, you know, social media is telling you is the perfect person, or they're giving you that image that is like the perfected part, right? The perfected, the filtered, the photoshopped image. When you begin to expect that as the norm, that's a problem. Because not only is that a problem for the person that is seeking that, because that's just not reality, right? People have flaws. You know, people's skin isn't perfect. You know, their bodies aren't like this image that has like the itty bitty tiny waist and the big butt. You know, it's not reality. So there's a problem on both perspectives because one, for the person that's seeking that, you're never going to find it. And number two, the person who is attempting to be that and to measure up to that standard, it's going to make them feel like absolute crap. They're going to constantly be feeling like they never meet that standard, you know, whether it's a reel on Instagram or on YouTube or TikTok or whatever, it's going to lead to ultimate disappointment either for you or your potential partner or both. And then again, you know, if you are in a relationship, you could potentially begin to feel jealous about how much someone is posting about their partner or feel resentment towards your partner for not doing the same thing. You know, it creates this sense of expectation. And the lifestyles you're scrolling through may change based on how satisfied you are in your relationship because they seem to be better than what you have, right? So it's like all about image. And it's about what do I have? What do I desire? What is social media showing me that I should desire? What is social media showing me that I should look like, that my partner should look like? And it really leads to a lot of relationship dissatisfaction because it's perpetuating this insecure attachment style. So when it comes to attachment styles, you know, we've got the anxious avoidant and all these different attachment styles. But what happens is it perpetuates this insecure attachment style. So you're constantly being stuck in this endless cycle of scrolling through social media to keep an eye on your partner's activities because there's no trust, right? So you're constantly going to be upset about, are they liking something? Are they commenting on somebody's post? You know, all of these things increase feelings of suspicion and jealousy. And this happens a lot in the 20-something group, you know, because they find that it's kind of like this feedback loop where, you know, they're constantly looking and searching, well, what are they posting on social media? What are they liking on social media? What kind of people are they interacting with? And it becomes this obsession. That's just not healthy. You know, it's not healthy because if you want good, authentic connection with someone in a relationship, it can't be based around their activity on social media because social media is not reality. It never has been. And, you know, people are so obsessed with it. People are constantly on Twitter, Instagram, Tinder, what have you. And all they're seeing of the world are these images of people that have been filtered and photoshopped. And they start to begin to believe that that is reality and it isn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's completely like true. Presentation is a key in the relationship, but the presentation doesn't mean you present like something like over hyped or exaggerated, because by the time you go into the relationship, the other person gonna find out, wow, you're not the way you said you are, or what do you look like you said you are, like all this, like beginning of disappointment happens, like, and that's not good for the relationship. And plus, like, if the person can swipe left and right, and then it gives a guy an illusion that they can, you know, sleep around like 10, 20 girls at one time and never have to commit or anything. So, like, and then girls may get desperate, like, oh, yeah, I have to sleep with him to get him, which is absolutely, like, not the right way to go. So, like, dating, like, online dating culture gives, like, easy access, but need to be really, like, what you're gonna call it, conscious about how to use it. It's not like, wow, this is, like, really handy, and I'm gonna... It's one way to meet a person. Of course, the ideal way is meeting in person, like, you know, first time. But, like, online is a way. So we can use it. But it's not, like, great way to believe everything on the social media and all that kind of thing. Me and you, we do our social media for our work, but I'm not a social media person to put my personal stuff on social media, because I'm not really big fan of social media, like, just for the work purpose, you know. It's very convenient, but, like, if you want to get to know the person, get to know the person in person. Like, you can, social media is so plastic, so, like, you can fake everything. You can put a lot of illusions. You can just put the best moment of your speech or best moment of whatever, your photo or amazing vacation site or your car or whatever that is. And that's not really how authentic the person can be. So in a way, if you are so much into social media and then looking at the person, the stressed out, and the thing, you know, thinking about how to present yourself, competing with other people, I mean, that's kind of a vicious cycle, because the rule number one is we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to other girls, you know, and that's gonna affect our self-esteem and everything.
Yeah, 100%. And there was a study done in 2013, which is almost 10 years ago when you think about it, but they found that couples who've been together for less than 3 years, spending more time on Facebook and social media was linked to more relationship conflict and more negative relationship outcomes. And one study found that those who are dating, people who overshare on social media tend to have lower relationship satisfaction. And you think about, you know, what goes into, like, what people post online. You know, people post all kinds of things. And I have seen a variety of things on social media, everything from, you know, a death in the family to breakups to problems with their jobs. And I mean, it's really amazing what people feel comfortable with putting out for the public to be able to see. So I think it kind of desensitizes you. And I think social media might tend to make daily life seem less interesting. Because I think social media, and I think this was said by
It's true, making social media less, you know, social media making regular life seems less interesting, because, like, everybody's kind of being a mini celebrity or instant celebrity and report all of their lives and whatever the stuff is going on, just like celebrities. Then what what is the info being in a relationship or dating with a person? You have nothing to find out when people are posting left and right about their personal lives. Plus, then you have to worry about, oh, you know, I heard this comment from this person, like, if we break up, I have to put my relationship status on single. I mean, that's not my business to post like single or in a relationship or whatever that is. Like, even if I'm married, I'm not going to put anything on the social media. Like, it's my business. And then why do I have to like advertise myself, my personal life to the world? And that's crazy to me. Like, there's a public life and then personal life, they're separate. And you and I share about what we go through, but that's not what we share everything about our personal life. That's something in the context of educating other people. It's not really personal, even though it sounds personal. So it seems like, you know, in the age of social media, it is very important for us to be aware that how much do you want to share about your personal life versus, you know, you be pretty much conscientious about your what's going on in your life. I mean, if you are very, like, I don't know, open about the sharing, and then it's kind of gives it's kind of turn off when your partner is sharing everything about your dating life or relationship in public. It's like we are not the celebrities. Even if you're social media celebrities, I mean, you're not really a celebrities, like, you know, celebrities in Hollywood. So it's in a way turn off, because your life is on the screen, your life is like on the stage, and then there's no sharing personal private moment, and that kills the attraction or passion, because everybody knows your business.
Yeah, I apologize, I had an issue there, but that's the thing. I mean, social media tends to ignore the gritty, mundane parts of people's lives, right? The struggles, the compromise, the intimacy, you know, the daily chores. I mean, things that happen in everyday freaking life, you know, social media does not glorify that. So, yeah, going on a vacation to Bali where you've got beautiful beaches, that may be awesome, but that doesn't have anything to do with day-to-day satisfaction. And when it comes to, you know, things like internet addiction, I mean, that's a thing. Internet addiction, Facebook addiction, Instagram addiction, all of these things have actually been put into the DSM, which is a diagnostics and statistical medical diagnosis thing for Psychological Association. And the thing is that people are actually being hooked on social media. So people who cannot get offline, people who cannot connect, like on a real heart-to-heart connection with a partner, whether it's a spouse or their dating relationship, regardless, whether it's even just a friend, you know, that social media has become an addiction in a sense for many people. You know, people who spend all their time constantly scrolling through their feed, scrolling through their Facebook feed or Instagram, TikTok, whatever. It doesn't matter which one it is, because it creates the same result. It's a lack of true connection. And that's the issue, because if you are so wrapped up in that illusionary world of social media, it's going to prevent you from having real heart-to-heart connection with a physical person. Because I don't care
how many people you swipe left or right on, what does it really matter in the actual scheme of your life when it comes to having true connection? Someone who truly understands you, somebody who gets you, somebody who's going to be supportive, somebody who's going to be there for you. You know, that's what matters in the ultimate game of life. You know, if you want to be with a partner, it's not just about how they look and how great the sex is. I mean, honestly, because that only lasts so long. And when it comes to spending 50 and 60 years with somebody, and not that I'm saying that has to be the rule, because it doesn't. I mean, you can have multiple partners over your life. That doesn't matter. But ultimately, I feel what really matters is having a connection. And when you are so inundated with people who are photoshopped and filtered and, you know, so wrapped up in this illusionary perfection of life, it's just not real. It's not reality. So what is real? What is true? That is more important by far than anything else you're going to find when it comes to any of the social media platforms.
Yeah, being authentic is important, especially like on dating app, because when I went out on my date, one guy said, "You look just like the picture." Obviously, they don't put the person forever. They put their whatever the self who doesn't even look like their age, or I guess they look very different or something. But if you do that, and then when you step in front of the person who you are having physical date with, I mean, you kind of wasted both of your time and his time, you know? And to me, that's like wasting my time too. So that is really important to, I guess, you know, put as authentic picture as possible, and then present yourself as authentic as possible. Doesn't mean you have to put like tons of like whatever about you on this dating site or something. You can talk about who you are when you meet. You don't have to put like whole life story or whatever that is there. But instead of like using dating app as a one of the way to meet the person, like it seems like the way to meet the person, that is also unhealthy, because then putting a lot of expectation on the dating site, like, oh, I'm gonna meet my perfect person through dating app. I mean, I have to laugh for that. I'm not really like denying dating app. It's a one of a good way to meet the person, but progressing that meeting to date, that's what counts, you know? It's not like, oh, you know, I have to keep on corresponding with this person for 2-3 months and then building up your feeling. That's totally like not a good way to go. Because this person, whoever you've been talking to, might not be who he claims to be. Because person can invent their profile, whatever the story, you know, unless you meet the person in person and feel out of who they are, you never know. You know, you never know. And then plus like when you are aware of the this have a good discernment, if you feel something is off, you know right away. So I guess it's double-edged sword. If you are very careful about meeting the person online, like you put a lot of good precaution to screen the person, and then because you're not giving out a lot of private information, including your phone number and everything, then you can kind of prevent like someone who is like stalkerish or whoever dangerous like out of your dating life. But like also in a way, like, if you're so open and then you're not really careful or, like, you know, that's also not good. So it's a good idea to having awareness and then just using dating site as a dating app as a one of the way, not the way. Because if someone really want to meet you, they're going to ask you out right away anyways.
Yeah, and I think one of the most challenging things, even for people who are already partnered or in couple relationships, it's being self-aware and really kind of clearly communicating about their engagement on social media. So people tend to go above and beyond to kind of create this perfect kind of expectation, like this perfect exterior, this perfect feed where they are enhancing the, like, whether it's their own beauty or whatever it is they're involved in, the highlights of their relationship, their inner relationship. So you tend to see like a feed where, you know, everything's beautiful. All the flowers are perfect. They go on 5-star weekly dinner dates. You know, there's a romantic beach that they're on. Every other weekend, they're like having custom vintage events. You know, things that just aren't reality, right? And, you know, they're writing heartfelt poetry to each other. Just because, you know, and it's all for the social media. It's all for the likes. That's not reality. What you're not seeing is the criticism. What you're not seeing is the defensiveness. You're not seeing the crying, the hard conversations, the vulnerability that accompanies these kind of relationships. You're not seeing what's going on behind the scenes. But yet you're stuck comparing what is your version of good enough and your imperfect relationship to what is perfectly curated, right? And that's exactly what it is. It's a curated, Instagrammable relationship. And this is the recipe for perpetual disappointment, because your reality is never going to measure up to the highlights of somebody else's Instagram relationship. And when you fall into this comparison trap, you have these insecurities that kind of bubble up to the surface. And maybe it's your insecurity about commitment. Maybe it's your partner's commitment. Maybe it's when you see these couples that are getting engaged and you're like, oh, we should be engaged. Or maybe they're moving in together or buying their first house. Whatever it is you feel insecure about, it's going to make you crave more. And this is what's triggered when you look at these social media, you know, images of other couples and relationships and whatever, because they're going on regular date nights and they're going on couples only vacations. But it doesn't matter, because regardless of your insecurity, it's really important to not allow social media to fuel any kind of argument between you and your partner, because your relationship is not less real because it doesn't match up to what you see on Instagram. And I think that's what causes so many problems. You know, people look at these images on Instagram and Facebook and they're like, oh, our relationship should look like this. That's not reality. That is curated. And that's what's so important to pay attention to, that this is a idealized version of what somebody thinks should be reality, but it's just not. You know, relationships are messy. They're complicated. They cause you to invest lots of energy, and you have to pay attention to the other person's feelings and how are you feeling and how's the communication. That is never shown on social media. Couple relationships on social media never show those hidden, deeper things that go on in relationships. So it's really important to keep that in the forefront of your mind when you're thinking about, okay, what should my relationship look like?
Yeah, that's important. And also, like, you know, social media, it's like increase increase unnecessary amount of competition, which is like, you know, really unhealthy. And also because everything is okay compared to this person, like my life is this and that. So people tend to feel unappreciated, which is not great in a relationship as well. And then when you are in the relationship, it's really important to talk to your partner, like how much you or him dedicating on social media while you're spending time together. Like I'm very like focused person. So when I'm with someone, doesn't matter if that's my boyfriend or my friend, I focus on that person. I don't focus on my phone or anything else. Like my phone is next to me, but it's not, wow, I'm looking at something else. Like unless conversation comes up to, you know, talking about certain like clips or whatever that is, like my eyes are on that person. They're not like I'm looking at my phone when I'm hanging out with my friends or, you know, my partner or stuff like that. To me, like that's rude. And when I have to attend to my phone for some kind of business reason, I let them know, like, oh, I'm expecting the call from someone, like, so I just have to talk for 5 minutes or whatever. To me, that's the respect. So if I expect that, you know, for me, I tell my partner, like, you know, I did have a problem with my ex because he was keeps on looking at his phone all the time. And then that wasn't really great, like, in the relationship. So it's really important to talk, like, what's your comfortable level, you know, with each other, how much you want to dedicate to social media while you're spending time together, which is really important too.
Yeah, and I think, like, as kind of a final thought, you know, how to navigate social media, particularly as a couple, you know, because I know plenty of people who are partnered who, like, even just today, one of my clients was like, oh, yeah, my partner never posts about our relationship on his stories. And that really upset her. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, well, you have to have these conversations. So how to navigate social media as a couple? So first and foremost, I think it's important to prioritize quality time with your partner without social media. So don't even bring your phone, you know, go on a date, go for a walk, go to the beach, whatever it is that you do, don't involve your phone in social media. Spend time connecting without the internet, right? And then number two, check in with your partner before you post anything about your relationship. So if it involves them, if it involves your partner, check in with them before you post it. Yeah, because I find a lot of people are kind of like disgruntled about the fact that, oh, well, they're putting all our shit out there. Well, ask your partner first. You know, don't just willy-nilly post things without asking them first. It's just considerate and it shows respect. Number three, don't snoop through your partner's social media. You know, don't go through their stuff. Who are they liking? Who are they following? I mean, that just shows a lack of trust. And if you don't trust who you're with, then why are you with them in the first place? I would just leave that there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then my addition is, if you can get off from social media, do that. Because building the relationship through social media is not a real relationship. Unless, like, your work requires for you to be on social media, that's another thing. But, like, when you're with person in physical, focus on building relationship in more physical way instead of like giving half attention to social media and half attention to the person next to you. That is not really building the relationship. That's really important because like social medias are created to sort of like confuse you. So you're not going to build real relationship with person next to you, right? So even you're not good at doing that, practice makes your skills or whatever better. So, and then if people like you, even though you're not good at talking in person or whatever, you pause a lot, they can handle that. And the more you do that, like, you get better. So talk in person, you know, and texting is not a great way to communicate with each other too, because you can read the emotion from that. So practice how to have an authentic communication in person, person in front of you, and focus on that. And that's how you build the communication and how you feel the communication, if this is authentic or not.
I couldn't agree more. That is so true. And I would say, as kind of a final thought before we wrap things up, it's easy to kind of feel uncomfortable when you're talking about the impact social media has on your relationship. But, and even then, you know, people think, oh, well, social media is super trivial. Why are we going to argue about it? But yet, honestly, it brings up real feelings, and your feelings matter. So addressing social media boundaries doesn't have to be this big, colossal challenge. Be willing to have open, honest, ongoing conversations with your partner when it comes to the goal of better understanding each other, and work together to establish those boundaries, because that's going to lead to emotional and commitment safety within your relationship. And if you're not in a relationship, then that's something to kind of aspire to. You know, as you're going through online dating, and, you know, as you're going through these, whether it's Tinder or Facebook or Instagram or whatever, whatever you're on, match.com, you know, be honest, be who you are, because that is what is the most important. It doesn't matter ultimately in the huge scheme of things, although people kind of tend to, you know, swipe right and left based on appearance. But what ultimately matters is, do you have a connection? You know, I don't care if you're good in bed. I don't care what you look like, because ultimately, you know, 20, 30 years from now, that's not going to matter. What I want is real connection. So pay attention to what your priorities are. What do you really want? Do you want somebody who is going to be honest? Do you want somebody who is going to be sincere in how they talk to you? Do you want somebody who's going to be emotionally available? These are all things to consider when it comes to relationships.
Yeah, that is very important. So being, you can still be authentic on internet. You can still be authentic in the social media or dating app. Being authentic, it doesn't mean you're going to announce everything what happened to your life in social media. That's not being authentic. You can control how much you want to provide the information. That's up to you, right? So be authentic, and then use anything. Like, everything is double-edged sword. So even social media, use them as your advantage instead of taking the power away from you.
So that about wraps things up for today's episode. Thank you so much for sticking around and tuning in. And I just want to share with you something exciting I've got going on. I am launching my new program. It is a 6-month journey, which is the longest I've done, and I'm super excited about it. And it is called How to Rely on Spirit. And this is for those of you who are really looking to learn to depend on spirit with full trust and confidence. So it's going to involve learning, like, what does it really mean to rely on spirit? How do you receive your divine guidance? Why is it even important to do that? And how would your life shift for you if you did? And spirit is that divine, infinite intelligence, the source of all that is. It's the I am presence of which your soul is just a tiny little piece. And your soul knows everything about you, your struggles, your desires, your purpose. And connecting with your own inner divine spirit not only gives you wisdom and guidance, but it really helps you get into the state of flow with more synchronicity and joy in your life, which is what you want if you're looking to attract that relationship you're after. So if you're really ready to level up your life, then this is for you. There's going to be channeled content unique to each individual person's journey, practical exercises to open your intuitive awareness. We do past life and between lives exploration so you can find out who you are, why you're here, why you have issues, and how to resolve those issues. You learn how to access your Akashic records, how to really clearly tune into your own guidance, how to trust your guidance, and so much more. There's going to be weekly Zoom calls. There'll be homework assignments, practical applications. I'm just so excited for this because it's going to be amazing, and Spirit has been nudging me to do this, to teach this. So if this is something you're interested in, I would love for you to reach out to me. You can email me at info@tanyaalbardi.com, or you can go over to Instagram and shoot me a message there in my DMs. My Instagram tag is @IAM_TanyaAlbardi.